glad to be here this morning. I've been gone for several days to Arkansas, and I just got back and went to see my sister down in Arkansas. She has had cancer surgery, and she's undergoing chemo, and I hadn't seen her since before she found out she had cancer, so I was down there. So got back last night, tired, but glad to be home. So glad to be here this morning. What I want to talk about this morning is what does God's love mean to me? This is a basic lesson, but it's also something that really got me started thinking when I really got into this lesson about what all does God's love mean to me. Now, the whole point of this sermon is to make me think and to make each of us think individually about God and all that He's done for me. And these are just some of the points about the love of God and what He's done for me as an individual. This entire sermon should make each one of us think about God and all that He has done for me as an individual. And I pray that this sermon will make each individual here leave appreciating, thinking about, and loving God even more than when you came this morning. First passage I have down here is in 1 John 4:8. It says, God is love. And down in the 16th verse of that same chapter says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So the first point I want to take out of this passage is that God is love. Love comes from God. Love originates with God. Without God, it would be impossible to love. And then secondly, if I love, then God dwells in me. Because of God's love and the love that He has given to me, it's possible for God to dwell in me. Love lets me dwell in God as opposed to sin dwelling in me. Then in Romans 5:5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So it says in this passage, love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that can mean one of two things. There's two ways to look at this. First of all, that my heart is filled with the love of God. Or secondly, it may mean that my heart is conscious of the love of God. But whichever it is, we know that the love of God is known in my heart. As Christians, He is in our heart and it's known. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So God gave me life to begin with. He loved me so much that He created me. He gave me life. He gave you life. We wouldn't even be here had God not given us life to start with. And then Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. This says a whole lot about the love that God has for me. God's love gave me everything that I need physically to live. He gave us the air that we breathe. He gave us the food that we have to eat. All of our food comes from Him. He gives us our shelter, or as we know it, housing. He gave us everything that we need from a physical standpoint to live. That's what another thing that God's love has done for me individually. In 1 John 4 and 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So love casts out fear. For example, it can cast out the fear of what Satan can do to me if I just live my life for God. If I have perfect love in God, then I don't have fear of Satan. So we can cast out that fear of Satan if we have the love of God, because we don't have that fear. No matter what happens to us, if we're physically harmed, if we're mentally abused, whatever is done to us by Satan, we have God, and we have the love of God, so we should not fear Satan. And then in Romans 8 and 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the love of God draws me closer to Him. Because of God's love, nothing should separate me from Him, if I live for Him as I should. So nothing should separate me from God. The love of God does draw me closer to Him. And if you feel that love, you will be drawn if you're loving Him as you should. And if you feel that love as you should. Then in 1 John 5 and 4, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The love of God gives me faith that there is something better to come. If I overcome the sins and temptations of this life, then I have faith that there's better to come. There is something better to come. So love God, and don't let the sins and temptations of this life overcome me. Then in Ephesians, the second chapter, and starting with verse 5, says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It says that He showed the exceeding riches of His grace. And He says that it is because of the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's getting about Christ coming here to die for us and die for our sins. And it says in this 8th verse that by grace we are saved through our faith. So we're saved through our faith. And that this grace, as it states in this final little passage here in verse 8, it is the gift of God. It's been explained to me that grace can mean God's reward at Christ's expense. God's reward at Christ's expense. Grace is a gift of God. Because of the love that God has, He's willing to give each of us the grace that we need so that we can obtain eternal life. And when I was sitting here a little bit ago, I was thinking about works. If we think about the love of God and what God's love means to me, it means that we'll want to work for Him. We'll want to do His work. We'll want to do things for Him. Go out and try to do His good works. You know, show your face to the world. Be a good light for Him. Do good to others. So working for God is something that comes through this whole concept of love and what it means to me. 1 John 4 and 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Because of God's love, then we have the ability to express love for one another. God gave us the ability to love one another. Because of God's love, I have the ability to love others. Have you ever thought about it that way? Because of God's love, I have the ability to love others. I talked a little bit ago about love starting with God. If God didn't give that love to start with, we wouldn't have the ability to love others. And a whole lot of this, the love that we have for each other, well, the love that we have for each other just wouldn't be there. So I have the ability to love others. That's one thing that God's love means to me. And then John in 15:3 says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man that lay down his life for his friends. Because of the love of God, I have the ability to not only love my friends, but to help them. Now this is talking about Christ and him coming down to lay down his life for us. And he calls us his friends. That's what this passage is getting about. And this is something that only Christ could do. It's something that God loved me individually so that he was able to send his only begotten son. But when I think about this, what this means to me is that I have the ability to not only love my friends, but to help them. In other words, I can set aside things in my own life and take time to help my friends. That's what this is getting at to me. Romans 12 and 10, it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So because of God's love, it makes me want to spend time with my fellow Christians. The love of God has given me fellow Christians to love. The love of God makes me want to love and spend time with fellow Christians. Then in Matthew 5 and 44, it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a really tough concept to grasp to a lot of people. Loving your enemies, loving those that despitefully use you. You know, it's hard to be good to people that just seem to hate you, that seem to want nothing but bad to happen to you. But we're told that we should love them. So, you know, we talked a little bit about loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, so we can love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that should be, you know, as far as love's concerned, that should be an easy thing to do. But it's loving those that don't think so highly of us, that don't love us back. That's when it really gets tough. So how and why should we love our enemies? Just remember that we need to love each individual person because each individual has a soul that's important to God. We might not love what each individual person is doing, but we need to love them because they have a soul that needs to be saved. Galatians 5 and 13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So the love of God has given me the ability to serve others. I don't know about you, but when you're serving others, when you're doing things for others, it really is a good feeling for you, isn't it? Or for me as an individual, it's a good feeling to serve others, to be doing things for others. Romans 13 and 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So in a nutshell, the love of God gives me fulfillment. I have fulfillment through the love of God that nothing else can give me. You know, you hear people saying that, you know, something's missing in my life. A lot of people don't realize it, but having God in your life, that's what's missing to a lot of people. That's why they never feel the true fulfillment that only a Christian can feel in their life. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Because of the love of God, I am constrained. The love of God was so great that he died for all mankind. The death of Christ was needed by all, as was proved by the truth that he died for all. He died for all. So when we think of this idea of being constrained, the love of God was so great that he died for all of us. And then in Galatians 5:22, this is the fruits of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. The love of God has given me the ability to love others and also these many other fruits of the Spirit as well. Joy means gladness. Certainly a Christian has much for which to be glad. I should rejoice over the proper things. The peace that comes through the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. Peace means a state of harmony between individuals. But whether that condition is pleasing to God depends on the terms of the agreement. If they are the things that are authorized by the Spirit, then the peace will be pleasing to God. And then it talks about long-suffering and the fruits of the Spirit. Long-suffering means patience, forbearance, slowness in avenging wrongs. This is a question of my personal treatment. I should be slow in maintaining my rights. Gentleness, another word for this is kindness. As a Christian, I can manifest it without any compromise of my righteous principles. Goodness means a brightness of heart and life. If I am wishing to bear the fruit of the Spirit, then I will regulate my life by the teaching that comes from the divine source. Faith, we talked about this a little bit ago. The main thought is that I will accept the testimony of the Spirit as is given in the New Testament and fashion my life accordingly. Meekness means virtually the same as mildness or gentleness in one's attitude toward another. If I am meek, then I will not be severe or harsh in my approach to another, even though the other person may be in the wrong. Temperance means self-control. This is explained to mean the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual or his fleshly appetites. In popular usage, this word is made to have direct application to the use of intoxicating liquor as a beverage. It cannot properly be so used, though, because no amount of indulgence in drunkenness, however limited, is permitted for Christians. The scriptural term for such things is abstain, and that's noted back in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Temperance can be used only in reference to things that are not wrong except when carried to excess. So they're not wrong, but when they're carried to excess, then they can be wrong, and they are wrong. 1 John 3:1 states, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Because of the love of God, I'm allowed to be adopted by God. Now, how exciting to be able to be called one of God's children. Now, who else should we just love so much to be adopted by other than God? That's exciting to think that I am adopted by God. God has adopted me, and that should excite us all when that happens. And then the two most important points to me about what God's love means to me is found the first one in 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Because of God's love, he sent his only Son to come and die for me. His Son came to die for my sins. That's what God's love means to me. He sent his only Son to come and die for me. That's what God's love means to me. That is so important to us. And also in 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the record that God hath given us to eternal life, and this life is his Son. This is the second thing I was talking about what's to me, one of the most important points about what God's love means to me. It's the love of God has given me. That is that chance of eternal life. Not eternal damnation, but eternal life with God. So he gave his son to come and die for me. He's also given me the chance for eternal life. As I stated, these are just some of the things that we can think about when we think about what does God's love mean to me? What does God's love mean to me as an individual? As I stated, this is not a comprehensive list of all that God's love means to me as an individual, but please think about and take advantage of the love that God has extended to you as an individual. The most important thing that God in his love has done is to send his only son for my individual sins. So if you've not yet surrendered your life to Christ, take the time to do so at this time. Maybe you've obeyed him at one time and then drifted away. Please take the time to repent and make correction at this time. Or maybe you'd like to place membership with this congregation. But whatever your need, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.